Hi, this is Lisa O'Brien, and I'm super excited to welcome you to my first ever Awaken podcast. What is the Awaken podcast? Well, it's conversations with people of connection, courage, and curiosity to awaken transformation, and I'm so glad that you tuned in. This first podcast is really exciting because I'm learning and everything's really new for me. I'm not new to conversations, but I am new to the equipment and the process of creating a podcast and all of the technical side of that. And so it's a real learning environment for me and a real learning opportunity for me. So part of my heart behind the Awaken podcast is I think that a lot of times in our culture, we get so used to having conversations that don't really matter, that are just kind of, I don't know, time killers, and they just fill space and time to help us not feel lonely or to help us not feel whatever it is that we're feeling. And I have a real passion that I really honestly believe that when people come together and they have conversations that matter, God steps into those places and he gets to create something new. And oftentimes, I know certainly is true for me, when I'm in a conversation that really matters, something wakes up in me. Something new gets stirred. I have new ideas. I have new thoughts. I make new connections, and something gets to wake up in me, and God gets to do something with that, with whatever that is that's new. And so that's my heart behind the Awaken podcast. I'm going to be producing these on a regular basis. But for today, this first one, I'm super excited to welcome my first guest, my best friend and my husband, Todd O'Brien. So, Todd, welcome to the first ever Awaken podcast.
It is great to be here, thanks. I have to tell you.
Good. Well, I'm excited. Thanks for being my sort of first guest slash guinea pig slash experiment slash lab rat.
All about that. All about that.
Good. Well, let's start the conversation with the idea of connection. Like, when you think about connection and what connection is, what is that? I don't know. What does it bring up for you?
Yeah, connection is an interesting one. You know, connection looks differently, I think, to a lot of different people. And as a man, I think it's something, a journey I've been on over my whole life is trying to learn how to connect to other men, how to connect to my children, how to connect to you, right. How to connect to my parents, how to connect to all the people that are in relationship in my life. And so when I think about connection, it's this really... it's this big network, right? Mm-hmm. This sort of network of people that I kind of interact with. And, you know, you have these business relationships where you connect in a different way and you talk about work and job. Mm-hmm. And then you have family relationships where you have history together and you mm-hmm. connect about, you know, things that you've done together.
You have your own language.
You have your own language. Jokes. You have inside jokes, yeah. You know, and you have... You have just things that are fun with the family, yeah. Right? And then you have old friends. There are friends I get on the phone with and I haven't talked to in probably 10 years.
Right.
And we go back to those, right? Mm-hmm. And that's an old connection, so it's not as fresh. Mm-hmm. So I think there's all kinds of connections. There's mm-hmm. fresh connections. There's old connections. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what comes to mind when you say connection.
Mm. So for you, like, how do you connect?
I connect, really good one-to-one. Mm-hmm. That's my best way to connect. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an introvert naturally. Mm-hmm. And so having a one-to-one connection, I do much better. Mm-hmm. I like group connections and that's fun, but it's different.
How's it different for you?
Well, I think it's different because it seems so light and fluffy and people aren't really going deep. Mm-hmm. And so I think it can be intimidating sometimes as to how much do you jump into a conversation and share or how much, you know, do they want to share or things like that. So if it's a work function, it's totally different because you're connecting about work. But if it's a group of friends or a group of people that you lean together, I kind of like to fill out the room a little at first. Mm-hmm. So it's just different. It's not bad. And it's just different. Now, when you're in a one-on-one connection, you know, it depends on the relationship you have with that person, but it just feels
like... How is it for you? What's a one-on-one for you?
A one-on-one for me, it feels safe. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's no I don't have to worry about distractions and things that are going on in the room or mm-hmm. other people who are wanting to talk to me or me wanting to talk to someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate it when you're in a group setting and you're talking to someone and you've talked to them for maybe 20 seconds and you see their eyes flitting to the other parts of the room mm-hmm. and they're thinking, who else is here? Who do I want to see? Who do I want to connect with? And it's, I think it's
so that probably feels more like disconnection.
It does. Yeah. So a group sometimes feels like disconnect because there's distraction. Mm. So to me, I like a setting like this where we're sitting here by the fire. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, me and you, we kick the pets out so right. they, you know, don't make a bunch of noise,
no distractions.
But there's just no distractions mm-hmm. and we can just have a conversation about one particular thing. I really like that.
Yeah. What do you, so we kind of, you kind of hinted at how you feel disconnected or ways that you feel disconnected. What are other ways that maybe that we in culture call connection, but when you step into it, it actually feels more like disconnection?
Yeah. Well, I just won't necessarily just talk about culture. I'll talk about just even me in a setting when I go sure. into something. 'Cause culture, I think, is, we define culture by what we know.
Sure, yeah.
And what we're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, as a culture of people, when we step in, and that I, what I know of, when I step in and try to have a connection when there's a disconnect, a lot of times it is large groups that mm-hmm. makes me feel a little disconnected because I don't want to have, it feels weird to me to have just a one-on-one conversation when I know there's that distraction around.
Right.
And maybe that's something I should just let go of and just really focus on that conversation until it's over, right? But it's, but I, if I think about disconnecting and how it makes me feel, I think it makes me feel, a lot of times it makes me feel like I'm not important, right? Like what I have to say is not important when I know that's not the reality of it. Mm. But, and I think everybody wants to say something that they and talk to something or talk about something that they enjoy and that they feel is important in their lives.
Right.
But disconnect sometimes comes when you've got two different people who are talking about two totally different things and they both have different priorities.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the eyes go to someone else. Who do I want to talk to now? Right. Mm-hmm. I want to find somebody who's more in line with what I want to talk about mm-hmm. or who wants to listen to me. And I think that leads me to another part about being disconnected is a lot of times in conversations, I try to go in and ask a lot of questions mm-hmm. and then those questions don't get reciprocated.
Right.
Right. And yeah. so that can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
Because I want to have a deeper conversation, but then it seems like the person I'm talking to just wants to, you know, wants to talk about their things and then they're done mm-hmm. and they want to go talk about their things again to someone else.
So that's interesting.
That causes disconnection sometimes.
Well, that's interesting because that, I mean, what you're talking about is curiosity. Mm. You're talking about like, you know, when, like what it sounds like is when you are in connection with someone who's curious, that does something else for you. So how does curiosity play into your life and the way that you are in the world?
Well, I'm a very curious person, mm-hmm. Not always in conversation, but I'm a very curious person in life. Mm-hmm. So I love adventure and I love fun. Mm-hmm. And so those things happen, I think, when you are curious in your life. Mm. Like when you go around a corner that you wouldn't normally go around just to see what's there, you never know who you're going to run into or what you're going to run into. Mm-hmm. And I've created a lot of relationships. Crazy relationships. So a time in London where I just got pointed to this guy named Philippe, right? Who makes guitars. And I ended up in this basement cellar with this French guy smoking a cigarette. And he basically invited me in to make a guitar with him.
Wow.
And he makes guitars for Prince and a bunch of other rock stars and, you know, of the
so
past.
So what led you to Philippe? Like, you said it was curiosity. Like, tell me the story.
Yeah, it was curiosity. And I think being willing to kind of take the next step because I was going down this the street in London, Denmark Street, that has all these music stores, and I was just asking, you know, I wanted a UK or British made guitar, and everybody was like, no, we don't really do it, and we import them all in, but you need to talk to Philippe. And he just kept coming up, so I was asking, well, who's Philippe? And I said, well, you just got to go see him. So it was a mystery. It was curious, but there was also a mystery to it. And I walked down this hallway and down these basement stairs, these concrete stairs, mm-hmm. and I felt like I was going into a hole somewhere. And I was, mm-hmm. but I went around the corner and it kind of changed, you know, a lot of things for me when I went around that corner, because I wasn't expecting a guy sitting there smoking a cigarette in this tiny little room with guitar parts all around.
How funny.
And I think taking that step and being curious about who Philippe was is what yeah. led me down, you know, a hole that I looked like I could have been mugged in, but it ended up being a real joy. And it's been something, a story that I've really enjoyed telling people, because it's just fun. And it's about curiosity. It's about adventure. And it's about, being willing to just step into something of the unknown.
Yeah. How does that, how do you think that impacts you? Like your willingness to step into the unknown?
I think it impacts me at the core of who I am, because, you talk about people who take risk in things, mm-hmm. and there's a difference between taking risk and being risky.
Because what's the difference?
Well, the difference is being risky is I think sometimes being, being frivolous a little bit with the way you do things, but okay. taking risk is something that you're like, you know what? I know going into this, I could be hurt. I could be, I could lose money on this deal. I could, you know, all the things that people put around risk, but mm-hmm. you sort of calculate those costs and go, but I'm still stepping into it, right? Being risky to me means not thinking about the things you're doing. Taking risk means, you know, just how I view it in my mind.
Yeah, that's great. So where have you taken risks?
Oh, so many risks.
that's a very long history,
history that you know too
yes,
well.
Yes, I do know that too well. Maybe you could share like a recent time where you've taken a risk.
Yeah.
And you know, for the purpose of like, for those people who are listening, who maybe know us or who maybe don't know us, like, I think you just said something that's really important. Like being risky and taking a risk is really different. And I think we live in a little bit of a risk averse, you know, first world Western culture is a little bit risk averse. And so separating the idea of being risky and taking a risk could be really powerful in someone's life.
Yeah. The most recent example I can think about was around relationships with my children.
Okay.
Because I think I wanted to step deeper into the relationship with them, knowing that they're getting older and going to leave home, and felt like that my relationship with them was good, but not, there wasn't depth, and I keep thinking about them as young adults, mm-hmm. and like what they're going to need as a young adult, mm-hmm. like emotionally from a father and depth from a father. And that's pretty scary, really, to think about, wow, I'm not there with them.
Right.
And so, taking a risk of talking to a teenager and saying, I want to have a deeper relationship with you as a father is something I did with both of my kids recently.
Yeah.
And two different reactions, because they're two different children.
But
at the same time, I think it was really powerful. But it was taking a risk, knowing that, not that they wouldn't want to have that relationship with me, but deep in my heart, there was this sort of conflict of, well, what if I step into this and they're like, Dad, you're just a weirdo, right?
That's a real possibility.
or it pushed them away. That was the bigger fear. What if it made them pull away from me?
Right.
When in reality it didn't. And I kind of knew it wouldn't, but there's still that risk.
Fear, like,
you tell yourself, I'm gonna step into this, but that's the risk that you take, is that, you know, you may come across wrong. Because I'm not the best communicator in the world.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes setting and having that conversation face to face, I could sit down and write something, but that wouldn't be as real, and that wouldn't be as
sure
as what I wanted. And so stepping into a conversation that I'm kind of unknown of the outcome was a big risk.
Yeah.
You know, of doing. And it really has paid off really well. I mm-hmm. think that both of them opened up to me in different ways, mm-hmm. and those relationships have grown and gotten deeper, which is good, which is what I, which was what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
But it was the risk or the fear.
What were you fearing? Cause you said what you were hoping for.
Yeah.
But oftentimes when we are getting ready to take a risk,
yeah,
and you know, we tell ourselves a bunch of stories about what the outcome yeah could possibly be.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me, it was just that I would, you know, say something in the moment that was awkward or hurtful even.
Yeah.
When
yeah
I didn't even mean to do that. It was just, right, you know, trying to have that conversation. And I mean, it's hard when you're going from sort of some shallowness to a yeah deeper conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's even riskier because you're like, have been in the shallow, and to go there, you know, like even some of the conversations I had with them was yeah around, well, we haven't really been here yet. So it's kind of, I don't really know what to think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so is that fear was sort of realized in me, but I pushed through it.
Right.
And it was a risk and I did it.
So I'm going to ask you to take a risk now because we're okay sitting here in a room by ourselves, but we're also recording this conversation and it's going to go out to, I have no idea who. There might yeah be two people that listen. It might be your mom and dad.
Yeah.
There might be 2,000 people who listen, some that we know and some that we don't know. Yeah. But you kind of talked there a little bit about how you have a hard time sometimes communicating. Like if you're able yeah to write it down, you feel maybe more confident.
Yeah.
But sometimes speaking your heart in the moment is complicated for you. So I'm curious about that. Mm. Like, what is that for you? What is it that holds you back or causes you fear in like actually just speaking the words of your heart in the moment?
I think it's less fear and actually sort of like translating it out of my brain just through my mouth. I just, mm-hmm, when I say something that I think I'm thinking, it comes out all jumbled.
Hmm.
And a lot of times it comes out in half pieces and it becomes more confusing than if I sat and thought about it for a while. And I think as an introvert and a thinker, which I'm both,
mm-hmm,
that I have to process things and think about them. But sometimes it's literally like this baby that needs to be birthed and I can't, I'm 10 days overdue of my, of what I need to say. And it's just, I can't seem to get it out. Right. And I don't think it's a fear that mm-hmm holds it out. I think when I was younger, I was fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was afraid of what I would say. I'm not afraid of what I'm going to say now. I just think that the actual translation from what am I thinking coming out and it feeling like the person's going to actually grasp onto what it is that I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And so then I'm curious about the connection. You talked a lot. When I asked you the question, I said something about what is it to speak the words of your heart in the moment? And you said you went straight to your head.
Mm.
And so I'm curious, like, you said it's hard for you to translate what's in your head out of your mouth. So I'm curious, how does your heart play into
yeah
that?
Well, yeah, you got me there.
Sorry. I might have a little advantage over you.
Yeah, no. No, that's true. That's true. And it's probably less fear and probably in my head that keeps me from having a deeper connection. So if I would just speak my heart, right? And, yeah, and I think that it's so easy to get your head and your heart mixed up. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to do that. But, you know, just speaking out of your heart, you will have a deeper connection. And I think
so
about
how do you do that? Like, how do you find the momentary courage or the momentary fortitude or the momentary risk to actually bypass your mind
yeah
and speak the words of your heart in the moment? How do you do that?
I think it is just sort of like stepping into the unknown and being okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like not, and everything doesn't have to be buttoned up. Mm-hmm. Right. Everything doesn't have to be a polished PowerPoint before you can actually say something.
Right.
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 And that is something a journey I'm still on. Right. Mm-hmm.
Does your head tell you the story that it has to be a buttoned up, polished,
so,
professional
yeah
PowerPoint?
And that it needs to be eloquent enough for people to understand it.
Right.
So that when it comes out, it's not just like, bleh. That's what it sounds like. Right.
Right.
You know, it sounds like a foreign language or it sounds like something. And so I think for me, it's not because I want to sound smart. It has nothing to do with that. It's just, I want people to get me.
Mm-hmm. Right? You don't want to be misunderstood.
I don't want to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
And it, go back to talking to my kids. Right. I don't want to be misunderstood.
Sure.
It wasn't that I felt like I had to have some eloquent speech or whatever. Sure. And when I stepped into that, that's why it was so scary, because I just went unprepared. Mm-hmm. And I was prepared in my heart, but I wasn't prepared. I didn't have the PowerPoint and the three points and the, you know, a little video in the middle.
Slick slides.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just went in raw, and that's why it was so scary for mm-hmm. me. And it was a big risk.
Yeah. I mean, so really what you're pointing to is like vulnerability, and that's kind of the difference of when we speak from our head, you know, it's prepared and it's scripted, and it doesn't require us to take a risk, but vulnerability, speaking from our heart in the moment in hopes of creating a connection, just requires a really different level of vulnerability.
Yeah. And I think the reactions of people.
Sure.
Just people I've been in relationships around me or in the past or whatever. And just when I say things and then the reactions that happen. And when I was younger, I really took that, I was really offended by that when people would react to what I say. And I don't know, it doesn't bother me as much anymore. I can say things, and if they react, they react. It's on them, right? But I think some of that plays into the part of why I feel like it needs to be a certain way, right? When it comes out of my mouth.
Yeah. So, we've been talking about it a little bit, but it feels like it's here now, is this idea of courage. Like that really it does require, like, even the difference between being risky and taking a risk. Taking a risk requires a certain degree of courage.
It does, yeah.
And so what is courage to you? What does that look like? How does it present itself? What does it mean to you?
Yeah. Courage means to me just sort of not just getting stuck with it has to be a certain way, mm-hmm. right? Courage means that you have to do things that could be really, really scary. Mm-hmm. And the deepest parts of you that where you hold fear, mm-hmm. courage is stepping into that and mm-hmm. overcoming that, mm-hmm. Or not even overcoming, just pushing through it, mm-hmm. right? And just letting it still be there, but you're still moving on.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I have this thing that I said to somebody recently, that I think courage is sometimes going to that place in your heart where fear lives, grabbing fear by the hand and saying, I'll go with you.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. I mean, the thought that just came to my head when you thought is a firefighter. Mm. I mean, you think about it.
Sure.
They're stepping into a blazing fire.
Yeah.
And even though they have some protection around, I mean, the risk that they will die each time they do that
sure,
is really pretty
high.
Amazing. Or a soldier that steps into a battlefield.
Sure.
You know, to me, that's the embodiment of courage.
Yeah.
And if I could have just an ounce of that kind of courage in my own heart to, like, share my own heart with people more.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, what sort of deeper relationships I would have. I'm sure they would be much more rich, much deeper.
Yeah. Well, this is so good. Yeah. Like I'm grateful that you took a risk and were willing to be my first guinea pig on this crazy journey. We'll see where it goes, but I really appreciate you just being willing to be honest and authentic. And I really hope that, I feel like some of what you said was, even for me, just the idea of, like, just what you said about the difference between being risky and taking a risk. I think that's so huge, even for me, like, it stirs up a lot of things in me to think about. So I hope that that's true for the people that are listening, that they get to, you know, kind of take a little something of what this conversation, you know, created, and it stirs something and awakens something in them. So as we get ready to finish here, what has this conversation awakened in you?
I think it makes me want to have more of these kind of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also awakened sort of a fire of, like, I can do this, right? Mm-hmm. Like the courage. Everybody can access courage.
Sure.
Everybody has fear of something.
Yeah.
So courage is just, I love what you said, taking it by the hand, just, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's awakened in me that sort of I can step into relationships, I can step into conversations, And even in a room full of people, I just need to kind of just let those inhibitions down and just step into conversations and not be worried about all the stuff around, but just be courageous in those environments.
Yeah.
Which is hard as an introvert to be courageous in those environments. So that's the thing.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited that I get to walk with you on that journey and see what that awakening creates for you and for everyone else in the room. Great.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks. So thanks so much for joining me on this first conversation of the Awaken podcast. What a fun conversation that was with my best friend. I hope that you heard something there that inspired you to consider connection, curiosity, and courage in a new way, and potentially something new is awakening in you. I'd love to hear your stories. I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Just a couple ways that you can actually connect with me. Feel free to go to iTunes and subscribe to the Awaken podcast, and then you'll be able to hear all of our upcoming conversations that will be coming out in the next few months. Also, feel free to visit me over at my website, which is www.lisagobrien.com. That's www.lisagobrien.com. And there's tons of stuff on my website. If you're kind of new to me or we haven't connected before, feel free to go on there and connect. You can connect with me on Pinterest and LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, whatever. I have a newsletter. You can subscribe to my newsletter. And if you subscribe to my newsletter, you'll get anytime I have a new podcast coming out or a new blog post or anything new or exciting going on, I'll communicate with you there. And again, would love for you to just send some feedback. Tell us what this conversation sparked in you, and connect with us however or wherever you can find us online. So thanks again for joining us for this very first conversation of the Awaken podcast. I look forward to next time.